This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Just gone 8 minutes past 2 o'clock. You're listening to Power Lunch with me, Ntokozo Mazibuko. You're tuned into Power 98.7. Now we're talking. In our next conversation, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the possible introduction, at least the proposed introduction of a comprehensive sexuality education curriculum in our schools. And we obviously going to be trying to answer the questions of what are the benefits of such a curriculum, such a program, and what could be considered some of the more harmful effects. Now, earlier this year, we brought to your attention the fact that the Department of Basic Education was looking into introducing CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education. Now, the basis for the proposal is to get young people talking about sex and sexuality in an environment that actually promotes knowledge and understanding, you know, in an environment that gives them the skills to actually make informed decisions that will actually affect their lives. Now, according to Stats SA, in 2017, an estimated 15,740 learners fell pregnant in the previous academic year. That's roughly about 43 learners falling pregnant every day. Now, in response to the societal problem, the department has proposed this new curriculum. The proposal has understandably become the subject of much debate. You know, should we allow and even advocate for CSC? Parents are already struggling with wrestling back some control over their kids as their children become more and more exposed to different elements and values in our schools and, of course, in the rest of the world. And so I think it will be interesting to kind of engage with some of the finer points of both arguments being made for and against this particular curriculum, this particular program. Joining me on the lines is Christian-based political party, the African Christian Democratic Party. We're going to be talking to party president and member of parliament, the Reverend Kenneth Meshwe, as well as Dr. Patty Silbert, who's a project manager of the Schools Improvement Initiative and the Schools Development Unit at the University of Cape Town. A warm welcome to both my guests. Welcome. Hi.
Hi.
The Reverend. Hi. Yes. Hi. Yes. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Silbert, I'm going to start with you, though. You know, I mentioned in my intro that, you know, the statistics and the data show that, you know, roughly about 43 learners are falling pregnant every day. So there's this worrying trend. There's this worrying statistics that's out there. You know, I'm curious, how would a comprehensive sexual education program or curriculum actually help curb this trend?
Well, I think to begin, the important word there is comprehensive. So if we're talking about a comprehensive sexuality education, it really needs to take into consideration an approach that is multidimensional, multi-layered, and multi-sectoral. This is not something that we need to or should think about as being the responsibility of the Department of Education only. Okay. So we really need to be thinking of who are the partners in the community and the broader society who can add value to this work. And immediately, you know, what comes to mind is the incredible work being done by NGOs, by the schools themselves. So the responsibility for this really needs to be spread across various people and groupings. So in the work that we do, for example, at the University of Cape Town, we draw in the social work students from the Department of Social Development who are able to play a role in facilitating the very important discussions that take place and in creating very safe spaces in which to hold the discussion. Mm. And we're in a very privileged position of having a social worker who's actually sitting with me now, Tembeka Mazozoyana, who I'd like to draw into the discussion, because it's Tembeka who actually does the work of coordinating these kinds of programs in our partner schools in Khayelitsha. So
I'm gonna ask you to hold off on bringing Tembeka to the conversation because I do want to ask a couple of questions first before we do that. You know, there are many who would argue that you know, sex and conversations around sex and sexuality should actually be left to a child's parents. You know, that as parents, they have the right, the responsibility to do so. It actually lies with them. And, you know, you're talking about creating safe spaces to have these conversations. The household, with your family, with your parents, that's a safe enough space to have these conversations. How can we entrust such an important conversation to a schooling curricula?
Well, I think there is a lot of fear in the, you know, the public domain around what it means to talk about sex and what a comprehensive sexuality education curriculum would look like. Mm. And it's the fear and the misconceptions and misunderstandings that lie very often at the root of the arguments held by some people about why one shouldn't be introducing this curriculum into the schools. So very often they're fear-based. So of course discussions can take place in the family. And yes, in many instances it is a safe space. However, in many instances, it might not be.
Okay.
Issues around sexual education might be taboo for religious or moral reasons. There are families who may choose not to hold such discussions or may not feel empowered or capacitated themselves to do so. So what does it mean then for those children who simply are not exposed to the conversations about sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
The only other option would be to create safe spaces within the schools. And that is why I think the rationale to introduce this kind of education in situations where it doesn't exist into the school curriculum is absolutely critical.
Mm. All right, I'd like to bring the Reverend into the conversation. Reverend Kenneth Meshwe, welcome to Power Lunch.
Good afternoon,
yes. So you've made it clear that as a political party, you are against CSC on the basis that, you know, it attacks, this is in the words of, I believe, your spokesperson, it attacks parental opinions, religious principles, it promotes promiscuity and even prostitution. So these are some very serious conclusions that have been made by the party. And I think we're all interested in learning, you know, what is the basis for these sentiments? What is the basis for, you know, making the link between comprehensive sexuality education and prostitution, for instance?
The link, obviously, we said with the promiscuity and not necessarily prostitution.
Okay, promiscuity. All right.
Yeah. It is important for the listeners to know that anybody who claims that the school is a safe space to discuss sex must check how many children are raped in that safe school, in school, compared to in the home. That's the first thing. Today, MEC for Education, Banyazel Supi, is in Tutolisedi in Fosolas, where a 16-year-old girl was raped by two boys in a toilet. Now, this has been reported and is one of the few. Many of the incidences of rape in schools are not reported. So when people say it is a safe space, that is very misleading. Our schools are no more safe. Crimes of different sorts have been in the schools. So I just wanted this argument of talking about safe space just to destroy it, because schools are not safe, homes are safer than that. Number two, it is parents' responsibility to teach their children about sex. Now, if government has noticed that there are parents who are not empowered to do so, then government should give instructions and guidance and help to the parents so that the parents teach their children what they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are many sex pests in the schools. There are teachers who are sleeping and with girls and raping children, teachers. And it cannot be true if anybody claims that our schools, now government has managed to get rid of all the sex pests in the schools. It's not true. Children are being raped. Now, when you talk about children falling pregnant almost every day, some of these pregnancies are caused by the teachers themselves. So now, coming to comprehensive, okay, even before I come to that, the issue of sex education, the basis of sex education, anatomy of the body, biology, those things were taught in our schools, and we did not have as many pregnancies as we have today. So the question has to be asked, why when sex education, only the basics were taught. We did not have as many children falling pregnant as today, but today the numbers have escalated.
You know,
so now, when we come to comprehensive sexuality education, you need to know, firstly, that it is an agenda from UNESCO. The United Nations have drafted the guidelines and what needs to be taught at what age. I've gone through that. And we find it appalling and totally unacceptable for children to be taught about anal sex, to be taught about oral sex, children who are less than 10. Now, if you are worried about pregnancy, child pregnancy, why teach children about masturbation? Why teach children who are that young about oral sex and anal sex? Okay, it is wrong. We do not agree with that. We believe that what government was teaching in life orientation classes was enough without importing, because CSE is imported. It's an import that is meant to pollute the minds of our children.
All right.
People can use different excuses, but these things are polluting the minds of the children.
All right, Riven. I do want to give Dr. Patty Silbert an opportunity to respond, particularly to, you know, some of the claims that you've made about, you know, the teachings of anal sex, oral sex, masturbation, and how is that supposed to necessarily encourage kids to make more informed decisions when it comes to sexual activity and their sexuality. I'm also curious about the links between what is actually being taught and the objectives of the lessons. Has extensive research been done into the outcomes of some of these curricula and whether or not we're seeing real tangible results of children who are a lot more informed about sex and are actually delaying sexual intercourse and are actually, in the event that they are sexually active, are doing it in a healthy way, in a protected way, Dr. Silbert?
So I think the two key points here are, first of all, that current research tells us that when provided with comprehensive sexual and reproductive health education, adolescents actually delay having sex. And when they do, they are more inclined to use protection. And here I'm quoting from, you know, UNESCO research from 2009. So the assumption that we are making, which is based on very, very thorough and rigorous research, international research, is that talking to young people about sex and sexuality actually does not increase their sexual activity. It provides them with knowledge, with education, with understanding and skills to make informed decisions. And it is these informed decisions that will affect every aspect of their lives, without which their lives can be destroyed very, very quickly and easily. So as to the Reverend's point about increased rates of pregnancy and et cetera, we would attribute this to societal changes, to the real deep embedded socioeconomic challenges that come with poverty, inequality, unemployment, domestic violence. This is not because of sexual education. This is because of the realities of low socioeconomic status communities and what goes on where there is extreme situations of poverty. And it's this that we are trying to address through tackling issues around sex and sexuality, through removing taboos, through trying to raise consciousness through healthy conversations. The point about safe schools is I did not suggest earlier that schools are inherently safe spaces. There is no space that is inherently safe. It is for responsible, ethical adults to turn them into safe spaces. So the point for clarification I made earlier is it is people such as who we are working with, like our social worker, like the social work students from UCT or from any tertiary institution for that matter, like the NGOs, who are able collaboratively through interdisciplinary collaboration to really turn these spaces into safe spaces. And it is only that way that we can start to work with the shame, with the humiliation, with vulnerabilities that our young children have who've been exposed to sexual violence.
You know, Dr. Patty Silbert, just to, I think, reiterate a question that the Reverend did pose is, what does teaching a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old about anal sex, How does that assist them in terms of making informed decisions that will, I'm assuming, aid in helping them decide to delay any kind of sexual intercourse? And of course, in the event that they do, that they actually practice protected sex. I'm trying to make the link, because parents would ordinarily ask these questions. So why is this particular sexual act, sexual position, being taught in the classroom? What is the objective? What is the child going to take away from being exposed to learning about this particular aspect of sex?
Well, I think the example that you've cited is one aspect of many.
Okay.
And one can go into the details of what the various elements and aspects of sexual engagement are, but the point is, for as in as healthy a way as possible, to bring consciousness into children's minds, because we know that education is about power. The more education children can receive, the more they can be educated on as much as is possible and appropriate, the more they will be able to make informed decisions. The more they will understand the difference between predatory and consensual sex.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want our children in any way to fall victim to, you know, powerful people out there in the community who groom and then abuse.
Sure.
So it's about how we tackle these issues, which are very delicate. Of course they are, and do so in sensitive ways, considering the very, very complex social factors at play here.
Mm-hmm. Reverend, I'd like to bring you back into the conversation and give you an opportunity, of course, to respond to Dr. Patty Silbert. But I do have a question to you as well. You've argued that, you know, government in our schools should actually be advocating for schooling curriculum where our children are taught to be skilled and responsible adults. I would contend that teaching our kids about how to have appropriate and healthy sex and sexual behaviors it's part and parcel of equipping our kids to become skilled and responsible adults. There are a lot of irresponsible adults out there who are having irresponsible sex. How do we curb that without having these important conversations in these educational environments that we have?
Before I come directly to your question, Dr. Alfred Kinsey was a psychologist.
Yes.
He taught that children, we are sexual from birth. And CSE teaches children to explore their bodies and find places where they find pleasure. It encourages children to have sexual stimulation. They either stimulate themselves or they stimulate others, whether homosexually or heterosexually. So when you tell me that you want to make our children be skilled and children focused, I am leading teachers who are complaining about how some of these children respond about after this lesson, how they would draw sexual organs on the books, on the desk, because children are copycats. Once you expose an 8-year-old child to something sexually and this child is told it is nice, it is enjoyable.
I think we also need to verify the ages here, because, you know, they keep changing, and I'm not entirely sure as well when exactly this curriculum would be introduced. But now you're talking about age roles, and I don't recall that being the age at which this curriculum would be exposed to the kids.
All right.
Yeah.
Invite me to. I'll meet with you. I'll come with the information that I have found.
Okay.
From the UNICEF and UNESCO's website. Invite me, let's have a discussion, and I bring this, and you have this Dr. Patty again on the line, and you have the material in front of you. I'm saying this material is inappropriate. It is not wrong. Sorry, it is not right to teach children that sexual, it is their right to be sexual. Actually, we are told that if we continue in this trend, children will demonstrate in the streets. Children will demonstrate declaiming and demanding their sexual rights. And this is not the goal of taking children to school.
Okay.
To be taught how pleasurable sex is and that it is their right. It is their human right. And then these children will go and then demand their right.
All right.
The South African Constitution has given us all rights, so children also demand this right.
All right.
To be sexual. And where is it going to end?
Okay. All right, Reverend, I want to bring in Uthembeka Zozonyana, who's a social worker who's been working very closely with Dr. Patty Silbert into the conversation because we are running out of time. Uthembeka, welcome to Power Lunch.
Hello, Sister Ngozi.
Hi. I'm particularly interested in this point that the Reverend has raised, and I think it's one that will probably concern a lot of parents as well. At which point does comprehensive sexuality education not become a conduit for sexual exploration and sexual activity? This idea of teaching children about sex, how do we gauge or how do we prevent, the exploration? How do we ensure that it doesn't open the window to seeking, the pleasures of sex, as opposed to just being informed about how it works, the mechanics of it, the technicalities of it, the language around it, things like consent?
Yeah.
Where and will our educators, who will obviously be disseminating this information, will they be able to gauge this kind of stuff as well?
Yeah. So thank you, Sister Ndogozo. I think what we need to understand is that I do work in primary schools and high schools, and what we do need to understand is that our children are already aware of these conversations. They're already aware of ideas and ideologies around sexuality. So it's not something new that's being introduced to the topic itself. It is something that's already a conversation in the communities, and a lot of the time the conversations are wrong. A lot of the time the conversations are misinformed, especially around content and your specific, as an individual, your identity within the sexuality, within your peers and so forth. And a lot of the time it comes with a lot of peer pressure. So I think it is cutting it a little bit thin to say that we are introducing something as opposed to we are listening to what learners are speaking about a need around education.
Oh.
And we're trying to respond to it in a manner that will facilitate the questions that they have correctly, rather than them getting that information outside of what is correct, and therefore they fall to abuse, they fall to certain sexual experiences that disadvantage them within the society that we live in currently,
sure,
which is very different to a society that was before.
Sure.
So I think a lot of the time we do need to understand that education, much like any sphere of development for any individual, it evolves and it's impacted by various things within society. And we need to be aware of these things and not run away from them, but rather address them in a manner that is going to still grow the child, but let the child be aware.
Sure. All right.
I think Dr. Patty Silbert, earlier spoke about empowering. And I think that's a huge,
You know what, Uthembeka, I'm going to ask you to take a breather. Keep that point, because we do have to go for our headlines and traffic break. Keep that point, and we'll resume after our news and traffic updates. Sean, I also see you holding on the line there.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. Power 98.7.
25 minutes to the top of the hour. We're still in that heated debate, a conversation around the proposed introduction of a comprehensive sexuality education curriculum in our schools. And just before we went for that news and a traffic break, we were in conversation with a social worker who worked closely with primary school children as well as high school children on the subject matter, Uthembeka Mzozonyana. Uthembeka, I'd like to bring you back onto the line and to just allow you to finish off that point that you were making before we had to go for that break.
Yes. Now, I was just saying, Sister Goza, that the idea is to empower, and it's to empower the learners. And I think what's being misunderstood a little here is that we're also empowering parents. It would also empower parents. So a lot of the time, and I'm not sure who said it earlier, but that homes are safe spaces and schools are not safe spaces. And I think what the disconnect is that even though the home may be a safe space according to the parents, and I'm not saying that parents, are not trying to parent at the best of their ability, the child is still vulnerable within the home space equally. And I think the idea of empowering a child to be aware of certain actions, this is what it means when somebody does this. This is what it means when somebody talks to you like this. You know, you allow a person or a learner to be able to take agency with what they allow and what don't allow to be done to them.
Sure.
So I think it's those conversations that unfortunately, yes, might be a little bit uncomfortable, but they are a reality. It is what it is within society, within these age groups. So it's not new information. It just needs to be disseminated in a correct manner.
Sure.
Or appropriate manner.
Sure. All right, we have a couple of callers who've called in and have been waiting patiently on the line. Sean, hi.
Good afternoon. Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Good. I'm absolutely shocked listening to this conversation. Just first of all, on the Reverend's point about how children get raped at school, so therefore they are not safe spaces. I mean, there is no bigger raper or abuser of children than the Catholic Church and the Christian churches. Just in the last 100 years, the millions of cases that have been reported. So I think that kind of puts that logic to bed or kind of dismisses it. But what I really get annoyed by is that we're a secular country at the end of the day. And our schools, our public schools, should be secular spaces. I think people are free to enjoy whatever religion they want at home. That's fine. But just don't bring it into the public space. And if you had to actually go by the logic of the Catholic Church when it comes to sex, I mean, you would be really wanting. I mean, this is the same organization that said that AIDS is bad, but condoms are worse. You know, it's the same organization that I could give for the next 2 hours bad examples of kind of moral or philosophical views that they have, especially when it comes to sex. You know, even homosexuality, how do you deal with something like that as a young person hearing that they are now committing sins and that they're evil because of how they were born? It's just really unfair. So,
okay, all right, Sean. Before we, you know, bash the church, what about the points that the Reverend actually raised? Other than the point that he raised about how unsafe our schools are because of some of the rape incidents that have come to the fore, he raised a number of other issues that I wonder if you perhaps would like to tackle outside of just being against the church in general.
Yeah, well, see, the problem is that the church works off a decree by a God. If, for example, there's no debate, there's no space for science, there's no space for kind of working things out. And that's what I think is the fundamental fault point. I mean, like the doctor said earlier, I mean, there are numerous cases that even though sex and pornography is more easily available than it's ever been, that the amount of the rate of sex in younger people is actually decreasing. So I think whatever efforts we're making that is juxtaposed to that of what Christianity once seems to be working over the last 50 years, you know, children are practicing more safe sex. They're having less sex as well on top of it. So this hysteria kind of approach to it is really not working and not going to help. So I just want to say more respect to the other team there that's doing some great work, the social workers, and I think we owe them a lot as a society that they're doing all of this for us.
All right, cool. Thanks, Sean. I'm going to give our guests, both the Reverend and Patty Silbert, an opportunity to give us their parting shots because we have come to the end of this conversation. Reverend, what is your response? I mean, there were some scathing comments there from Sean, criticism of the church in general. But this idea of the church not being open to any kind of dialogue, discourse, debate around issues like this, when in fact, as Uthembeka has highlighted for us, our children are already hypersexualized just because of the environment that we're in, the social environment that we're in. Is it not the best move for us to adequately respond to this hypersexualization by ensuring that we curb it with adequate education and information?
Sean was out of order. He attacked the church when I did not say one word about the church. He was out of order. And for him to suggest that there is no space for science in the church, that is nonsense, because we have many Christian scientists, okay?
Sure.
So to say that's just nonsense. So the fact is, we agree that children must be taught about the general information about sex. In my introduction, I said in sexual orientation and life skills orientation, our children were taught about sex. But it was not as explicit and inappropriate as what CSE is introducing. So I've never said they should not be taught. They are taught, they've been taught, but what we reject, what I reject, is the extreme inappropriateness of what is given to children.
Mm.
Do you know that the past 2 months, there were demonstrations in the UK parents in the streets objecting to what CSE is giving to their children. So it's not only us. Parents in South Africa have not yet been in the streets, but all over the world, the United Nations. And on Sunday evening, we heard the spokesperson of Department of Basic Education, Mr. Mklanga, saying South Africa is a signatory to the United Nations. So whatever comes to the United Nations, because they are signatories, they have to embrace. So we are objecting to teaching children who are young about masturbation, about oral sex, about anal sex. What do they have to do to teach them about how to behave yourself? And anybody who suggests that they will delay sex when you teach them about masturbation, when you teach them that Kinsey taught that sex, children must enjoy sex, that person is lying, is misleading, because you are told, you cannot say to a child, you can enjoy this, but don't do it. You can enjoy this, but don't do it. Because you are arousing their curiosity. Once you say it's enjoyable, everybody wants to enjoy whatever is enjoyable.
So, all right.
CSE encourage children to be sexually promiscuous, to start experimenting, which is totally unacceptable. Let's listen to what the parents are saying. Are they happy about teaching children inner sex?
Okay, Reverend, thank you so much for that. Patty, parting shots. I'm going to ask you to be very quick because we have run out of time.
Okay. Thanks, Ntokoza. My parting shot really is addressed not only to the Reverend and fellow South Africans, but to those very people in the UK who are protesting against this kind of legislation. And it is this that I want to say, that there are very complex social factors that contribute to youth pregnancy, such as peer pressure, intimate partner violence, a lack of knowledge about sexual and reproductive health, and a lack of understanding about contraception. So it is, in fact, a progressive and proactive move with far-reaching positive educational implications that such legislation should be introduced, and that we can have a very powerful tool within our schools to combat these kinds of misconceptions and fears related to comprehensive sexuality education.
All right. I want to thank both my guests for coming on to the show. A very heated conversation, but a very necessary conversation, I would say. Both a big thank you to both the Reverend Kenneth Mesho, who is a party president of the African Christian Democratic Party and member of parliament, and of course, project manager of the Schools Improvement Initiative and the Schools Development Unit at UCT, Dr. Patty Silbert. A major thank you to both my guests there. Just a quick note, the ACDP will be marching this Saturday against CSC for all of those who are interested. And I do want to read a couple of your tweets here. Loriko tweeted earlier, and I don't mind kids being educated about sex. My concern is the manner in which those teachings will be delivered. Will the person be diligent enough not to spark illicit curiosity in a child? And of course, Uzaki also tweeted earlier, I side with the Reverend 100%. To me, if we teach them, them being children, sex, they'll want to experiment on it in their own space, which to me is true. Even as older, once no one had taught us about sex, but we're all doing it now.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.